Turn in your Bibles today, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll begin there. And I was talking with Alan Edge last week. We were talking about power tools. You remember I had my drill up here last week? Almost damaged some goods right now. So you can see how skilled I am with my power tool usage. My pulpit's feeling a little pain this morning from that screw that went in a little too deep. But was talking with Alan last week, and he had been doing a job digging post holes, right? And was able to borrow, I think, a neighbor's, rented one, a post hole digger. And that power tool made the job a whole lot easier, right? Like shorten the time by a tenth or more. 15 holes in 30 minutes, praise the Lord. So power tools, that's our theme. So when you go back and listen to this series on the internet, or if you have people you talk to and they say, I don't believe in that gift of the Spirit thing, you can refer them to our website and tell them, go listen to the series called Power Tools. That's the name of the series on the gifts of the Spirit. That's what we're doing right now. So look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's a quick pop quiz for you. Last week we talked part one on the word of knowledge. How many of you remember what the Greek word for knowledge was? When we said that word, that phrase, the word of knowledge, there was a Greek word. Say it real loud if you remember. Sounds like gelato. Gnosko. That little Italian sound to it. It's a Greek word that means face to face. Remember? We said the word of knowledge is when God speaks a word of face to face intimacy about you or about another person. When he gives it the gift through you to another person, he's saying to that person, I know you quite well. Okay? The word of knowledge is never to scare anybody, to expose anybody, or to make them feel trembling before God. It's to remind them that God knows them exceedingly well. Gnosko, I love that word in Greek. It just rolls off the tongue. Gnosko, face to face. It's an intimate knowledge. When we say the word of knowledge, we're talking about an intimate knowledge. God knows that person well. Amen? And it's just a reminder, the word of knowledge is one of the most powerful tools in your tool belt when you're out there witnessing for Jesus. Because when the Holy Spirit gives you a word, and usually it's just a small phrase, it can be a very sliver of a glimpse into someone's life, and it can knock their socks off. It can bowl them back like, how did you know that? And many times you'll hear the question somewhat along this line, are you a mind reader? Because they want to know, where'd you get that from? Because it's accurate. Amen? We said it's not the word of maybe. It's not the word of almost. It's the word of knowledge. God knows. He's not foggy about the matter. So when you give a word of knowledge to someone and it's accurate, now we're not always 100% accurate either because we're an earthen vessel when we give it, when it goes through us. But the word of knowledge, when it's accurately given, wakes people up to the fact that God knows me. It's powerful. It's a powerful tool in your hands. We also likened it to this idea, and this was original, the Lord gave it to me. It's like the Father's kiss. Yes. It's like the Father's kiss. Because again, it's not meant to scare that person. It's not meant to expose them in a way that makes them feel embarrassed or humiliated or ashamed. It's the Father's kiss of love. Yes. Saying, I know you and I care about you to this degree. It's a kiss from the Father. Think of it like that, okay? So when you're given it, don't be afraid to step out in this gift. It always feels fear and trembling. Paul said, I came to you in fear and trembling. Sometimes when you start to move out in the gifts of the Spirit, you'll feel a little trepidation. That's okay. Let it go. We said last week, you've got to get out of your comfort zone to bring comfort. Amen? Amen? You and I are going to have to get out of our comfort zone to comfort the people out in the world that need comfort from Jesus. And the word of knowledge is one of the ways we do it. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, we're just going to read two verses in this passage. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. But look at verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant, as we say in the South. Look down at verse 7. The manifestation of the who?
Spirit.
The Spirit. Say it again real loud. The manifestation of
the Spirit.
The Spirit is given... I lost my place here. It's given to every man to profit with all. To profit with all. You know, sometimes we tend to think, oh, well, the gifts of the Spirit, this 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that's that, kind of that odd chapter. It's for Christians who are really out there, the spooky Christians. Christians who really want to kind of go out on a limb for God. No, it's for all Christians.
Amen.
The Bible calls it the manifestation of the Spirit. Okay, when we talk about the nine gifts that are all described here in chapter 12, you with me? Those nine gifts are, the Bible calls it, the manifestation, say it with me out loud, The manifestation of the Spirit. The gift of the word of knowledge is not some weird, spooky thing for someone on television to operate in. It's for you and I to operate in because it is the manifestation of the Spirit. Saints, if you go to a church or you hear people talk about, I go to a church that doesn't believe in that, I'm sorry to hear it, because the Bible calls it right here in 1 Corinthians 12, the manifestation of the Spirit are these nine gifts. Jesus manifests himself in the church today through these nine gifts. Amen? We also said last week that seven of these nine gifts are actually found in the Old Testament. So this is not some weird new Christian thing just since the book of Acts. This was all through the Bible. We're talking how many years of history here? Thousands. About 4,000 years of history. 4,000 years of history from Genesis to Malachi. And during those 4,000 years, God was not completely silent. It's not like God just, oh, I learned a new trick. No, not at all. He was active, and we're going to see some examples of that in just a moment. We're going to look at some Old Testament examples. God was active all through the Old Testament in seven of these nine gifts. And we told you last week the two that he wasn't active in, you may answer if you like, anybody may answer if you like, were two gifts that we find only after the resurrection, which are speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Now, when we say speaking in tongues, we're talking about a message given in tongues, not your everyday prayer language. All of us should have an everyday prayer language that doesn't necessarily have to be interpreted. You understand that? When you're home, when you're driving, when you're wherever, and you're speaking in tongues to the Father, the Bible says you're speaking mysteries. You don't have to interpret those mysteries for it to be legitimate. But in a church, a corporate setting, we have a gift. One of the nine gifts is called, or gift number eight, you could say, and nine are a message given in tongues and the interpretation, because we need to know what it means.
Right.
And those two gifts are found in the New Testament. All right, let's look now. I want to show you something that was kind of humorous. I told you this before, that occasionally the Lord will speak to me through surroundings, through billboards, through passing vehicles, and I just coincidentally, this past week while I'm driving home from work, I saw a truck in front of me, and you can see it closer up. What does it say?
Spirit.
No, the close-up slide. There we go. Spirit. There we go. Thank you, Alan. It says Spirit. I think God was just reminding me I'm on the right track with this series right now. How about you? Amen. Thank you. Spirit. God was saying, you're on the right track. Spirit. Now, one more time before we go to... you can turn your Bibles to Numbers 11. Yeah, Numbers 11. And then I want to say this. I really want you to catch this, folks, in this series. I want to expand your comfort level with operating in these gifts. Okay, that's my goal. My goal is not just to tell you information and you go home and say, that was good information. No, I'm pushing you out of the boat. That's my goal here. This series is to get you active in operating in these gifts. You say, well, I've never done that before. That might be kind of scary. But you're called, and I'm called, to be used by God on a regular basis. Saints, this is not just for, once a year when the evangelist comes through, we have a service with extra goosebumps on top. No, this is supposed to be every day. And God wants to do this. You have to see that. When the day of Pentecost came, we said this last week and it bears repeating, the day of Pentecost was like, for 33 years, Jesus walked the earth as God in the flesh, right? We understand that. And those were 33 glorious years. The earth actually had the privilege of the God-man walking in flesh. Think about it. Every day. The dirt was happy where Jesus walked. The rocks were happy to be stepped on by the Son of God. But when Jesus ascended, what happened on the day of Pentecost? He opened the floodgates of heaven and poured out his very Spirit, as you saw. The Spirit was poured out like a flood, and he's been here ever since. And he's been active ever since. And the book of Acts was written, think of it like actions, acts. They were acts or actions of the Holy Spirit through the 11 disciples. And now we are writing the conclusion to the book of Acts. Amen. I'm getting ahead of my notes, but this is the ending scripture, but I'm almost there. That doesn't mean it's time to go yet. You and I are writing the rest of the book of Acts through our very lives. And one of the ways that we express that, there's many ways. Listen, the gifts of the Spirit are not the end all. But they are a power tool. When the tool's needed, listen, when you need a screwdriver and you need it with that electric capability, that's the best tool to have in your hand. When you need a flashlight, you don't need a screwdriver. If it's dark, you need a flashlight, right? So the best gift of the Spirit is the gift that's with you when you need it. And it's for us. I want you to see this. And I want you to see this, that the Holy Spirit is not the weird uncle in the Trinity. No. He's Jesus in the church. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit is every bit as normal, every bit as wonderful and loving and peace-giving as Jesus himself, as if Jesus were here himself. That's why he told his disciples in John 16. We read the verse or shared it with you last week. I'm going to send another who's just like me. Because he truly is. The Spirit is Jesus in the church, in the earth. And he manifests through the church. Glory to God. If you and I don't let him out, guess what? The world won't see Jesus.
Amen.
When Jesus walked the earth, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, not everybody saw Jesus during those 33 years. If you didn't live near Israel, you didn't see him. And he was way before my time. I didn't see him. But if I see a Christian led by the Holy Ghost in today's world, I'm seeing Jesus in action. I'm seeing the Father. I'm seeing Jesus because the Jesus is the Holy Spirit. They're all one. Amen? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. If you see the Holy Spirit, you've seen Jesus. Numbers 11. Are you there?
Yes.
Numbers 11, 16. Look what happened here. Now, the Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting. They may stand there before you or with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the Spirit that is on you, and I will put the Spirit on them. Notice the word on. Everything in the Old Testament was about on. You know why? Because man had never been born again. His spirit had not been recreated. So when God moved by his spirit through prophets, people like Moses, David, his spirit would come on them. Saints, we got it better. The Spirit is in you and in me 24/7. You wake up on Monday morning, you don't feel spiritual, he's still in you. But in the Old Testament, he was on them. Now look what he says. They will help you carry the burden, Moses, so you will not have to carry it alone. Tell the people, I'm reading fast because we got a lot to cover here today. Just bear with me. Verse 18. Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. Now the people, if you read earlier in the chapter, they cried out for God. They said, we're tired of manna. We want some meat. We want steak for dinner. Okay. So God's going to give them steak, but they're not going to be happy about it. It's also going to come with a price. The Lord heard you when you wailed, if only we had meat to eat. We were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat and you will eat it. You will not eat it for just one day or 2 days or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nose and you loathe it because you've rejected the Lord who's among you and have wailed before him saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? Okay. Look down and skip down to verse 24. Moses went out and told the people what the Lord said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with them, and he took of the Spirit that was on Moses, put that Spirit on the 70 elders. And when the Spirit rested on them, what did they do? They prophesied. What does prophesying mean? It's simply meaning to speak on behalf of God. Okay? Don't get too hung up on prophecy. Prophecy means just to speak on behalf of. Okay? So they were prophesying, and some translations said they did not do it again, and some saying they did not cease. Okay, we're not going to get into semantics there. Now, I want you to see this. Look down at verse 29. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I skipped ahead here. Look in verse 26. Two men whose names were Eldad and Medad, I don't know if they were related, but their names are similar, they remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. But the Spirit rested on them, and they all also prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since his youth, spoke up and said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I would to God that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them all.
Amen.
Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. I love this story. I love what Moses blurted out. You get it? You hear the heart of what he's saying? I wish all God's people were prophets. I wish all of God's people had the Holy Spirit on them so that they could declare the words of God. That's what Moses is saying. You with me? You got it? Now look over in Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Joel prophesied about the day you and I are living in. Look in Joel chapter 2. Oh, mercy. Joel 2, in verse 28. Are you there? Almost? Okay. Joel 2, 28. I don't have any Joel jokes while I'm waiting for you to turn there. I'll just wait. All right. Joel 2, 28. Have you noticed that? Oh, I do have a Joel joke. It's not really a joke, but have you noticed that people, when they say Joel Osteen, they always put an L in his last name? I don't know why they do that, but they'll say Joel Olstein. Poor Joel. Anyways, Joel 2:28. Afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. He's a great guy, no matter how you say his name. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions, even on servants. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Did you know the New Covenant does away with class warfare? I'll elaborate on that in a moment. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Now notice how Joel describes it, in those days. Now, keep that in mind. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Are you excited about the Word of God today? Paul said this in Galatians about the Word of God. He said, through the hearing of faith, God does miracles among you. As you're hearing the Word of God today, he's igniting miracle power in your life. We're not just studying the Bible. The seed of God's Word is going into your ears and into your heart as you're hearing it today. Amen? This is exciting stuff. I'm expecting some great things from this. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Now, Joel said what in the end of that verse we just read? In those days. Remember that? That phrase, in those days? Look how Peter quotes it in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit's just fallen on the day of Pentecost. Boom. You know, Niagara Falls has just fallen on the 11 disciples and the 120. By the way, okay, I got to say this. 120. How many days had they been waiting since Jesus ascended? Approximately 50 days, right? Because the day of Pentecost, Penta means 5. Pentecost was the 50th day since the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, since Passover. They had been waiting approximately 50 days in prayer. Isn't it interesting that only 120 were still there? The faithful. Imagine in those 50 days, you know, 2 weeks go by, and this is not my message, it's just a blissful thought, okay? 2 weeks go by, and the people look around, they go, nothing yet. I'm going back to fishing. 3 weeks go by, 4 weeks go by. Well, I got some work to attend to. I got to get back to work. 5 weeks go by, 6 weeks go by. Now we're at 50 days out, and kaboom. Holy Ghost Hiroshima, right? It pays to be faithful. Amen? The 120, they were down to 100. We don't know how many it started with. I imagine there was 400 or 500. Because the Bible says that after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to over 500 people. If you had seen the resurrected Jesus, don't you think you would have been waiting there in that upper room for the Holy Ghost? But there wasn't 500 on the day of Pentecost, was there? That's just a little tidbit for you, a little appetizer. All right, Acts 2:17. Look what Peter says here. Peter stands up. The Holy Ghost has fallen. People are what? They're speaking in tongues. They're declaring in languages they never learned in human knowledge. They're declaring the praises of God. And Peter says, in the last days, not in those days, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men see visions. Your old men dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. That's all I want to read for today. Two more points, and then we're going to move along. No class warfare in the kingdom of heaven. Do you remember Naaman the leper? The soldier from Syria. It was an Israeli slave girl in his house that told him where he could go to get his healing. She spoke by the Spirit of God and said, go down and see the prophet and you'll be healed. Listen, folks, it doesn't matter where you're at in the natural, in, you know, middle class, lower class. It doesn't matter where you were brought up in your family's life, in the natural. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you're something. I'm telling you. And Bible says right here, in the last days. 2,000 years ago, they described their day as the last days. Let's don't miss Jesus' second coming by taking on an attitude that said, well, you know, people have been saying this for decades. Jesus is going to come. Jesus is going to come. No, 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 no. Peter said it in that day. It's the last day now. So you and I are living in the last of the last days, I would say. And that's positive. That's not negative. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's look in 2 Kings chapter 6. Are you with me? God said, I'll pour out my spirit, and he hasn't stopped ever since, praise the Lord, since the day of Pentecost. It has been poured out in the earth. 2 Kings 6 and verse 8. 2 Kings 6, verse 8. We're going to look at an Old Testament example of the word of knowledge, and then a New Testament example. Then I'm going to wrap this up, land the plane. And next week, we're going to talk about a different gift, I believe. If we can get that far, if we can get to next week at next week's appointed time, 2 Kings 6, verse 8. Are you there? All right. The king of Aram was at war with Israel, and after conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place, the such and such place, because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. Did you know the Holy Ghost can warn you and I about things to come? He can give us a word of knowledge. There's a trap around the corner. There's construction on that bridge. There's danger up ahead. That's a word of knowledge. Boom. And if you and I heed it, it's a good thing. It's a real good thing. So time and again, Elisha warned the king, and he was on his guard. Verse 11, this enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? Verse 12, none of us, my lord the king, said one of his officers. But Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Can you imagine? That's a scary thought. But the truth is, God knows the very words that you and I speak in our bedroom. And a word of knowledge can be given based on God's knowledge. This is what I want you to see, is that God's knowledge is not limited at all. God sees it all. Say that with me. God sees it all. And so when God chooses to give you and I a tidbit of his knowledge, it is all-seeing. Amen? And we see that here in this story. And I want to say this. In this story, we see that the king of Israel was able to trump his enemy time and time again. The word of knowledge is used to help defeat the enemy in your life and my life. Saints, the gifts of the Spirit are not optional. I would say in our day, they could be a matter of life and death.
Yes.
You hear me? This is not, again, I don't want you to think of this, oh, well, you know, if I want to really step out on a limb, I guess I could kind of be involved in this thing called operating in the gifts of the Spirit. No, the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in your life and mine may save us one day. Could keep you getting on the wrong airplane. You with me? It's important to listen to the Holy Ghost. And we see that in this story. Now look down in verse 13. Yeah, let's read verse 13 through 23. Go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back. This is really good. This gets really, the battle gets heated up here. He's in Dothan. Then the king sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Love it. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.
Yes.
And then Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes, because Elisha's eyes had already been opened, right?
Amen.
so the servant may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire. That's where the movie title came from. All around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord. Now here's a second prayer. Strike these people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness as Elijah had asked. And Elijah told them, this is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me. I'll lead you to the man you're looking for. Well, they had no other choice since they're blind. And he led them to Samaria. And after they entered the city, Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria, or the enemy's camp, their enemy's camp. And the king of Israel saw them. He said to Elijah, shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them? Do not kill them, he answered. Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food or water before them so they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Well, I guess so. After God read his mail that he'd been speaking in his bedroom, and this incident happened, yeah, I think he would back off and realize, I'm up against a force I can't deal with, right? So I want you to see a couple of things here. Elijah, when he operated in this next gift, we're going to get into a couple weeks down the road, he said, open my servant's eyes so he can see what I'm seeing. You know, what gift would that be? Discerning of spirits. Discerning simply means perception or see, to see. Elijah saw the angels of God and the chariots of fire around this city. He saw it already. That when he looked out the window, he didn't see the enemy. He saw, wow, look at those chariots of fire. Those enemy looked like peons compared to them. And that's why he prayed the prayer for his servant. He said, let him see it too. And then God did another miracle. He gave the servant the discerning of spirits. Now, you and I don't see with those glasses on a regular basis, do we? I mean, I don't see angels and demons every day. Have you ever seen an angel or a demon? Maybe some of you in here have seen an angel. I don't know. I mean, in their glorified state. Now, what the Bible tells us, sometimes angels come amongst us as people, angels unaware. And probably some of you have got stories in here that you've encountered like that. But I'm talking about seeing them as they truly are in the spirit realm. That's called discerning of spirits. So in this story, remember I told you at the onset of the message that these seven of the nine gifts operated all through the Old Testament. Well, here we see discerning of spirits. It was through the Holy Spirit that Elisha could see these things. And secondly, when he prayed and these guys' eyes were blinded, what is that? That is a working of a miracle. Because they went temporarily blind in answer to Elisha's request. And then when it came time for them to see, he said, now open their eyes. Okay? So God made them blind, and God made them able to see again. That's a miracle, working of miracles, which is one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, manifested in the earth, manifested through the church. Now, do you see it? So there again, there's an example of what I mean from the Word of God. Now, there's a modern-day example. We have a story of a guy named Brother Andrew. Anybody ever heard of Brother Andrew back in the 60s and 70s? He was a European. He was from, I believe, Norway. His real name is An van der Bijl. I'm sure I butchered that. But they called him Brother Andrew, and I would too. But Brother Andrew would smuggle Bibles into Eastern Europe. This is back in the 60s and 70s, and they called him God Smuggler. Anybody ever read the book God Smuggler or heard of the Christian comic book? I read the Christian comic book when I was a kid, God Smuggler, about the exploits of this man of God who would drive his little Volkswagen up to the border of Eastern Europe, and he'd be about to go in, and there would be a, you know, soldiers around his car about to search his trunk, and he'd say, Lord, make their eyes blind so they don't see the Bibles. And they'd pop that trunk open. They wouldn't see a thing. What is that? Wow. That's a working of miracle. God blinded their eyes so they couldn't see the Bibles. Brother Andrew. There's a modern-day example. Cool, huh? So, listen, the Holy Spirit is eager and ready to pour these power tools through you and I day and night as needed. As needed. And there's part of the equation that is probably the biggest factor. It's as needed. If you need a working of miracle, God will give you a working of miracle. Amen? If you need someone's eyes to be blinded around you, if you're at a checkpoint or a customs line and God, you're trying to get into a country with Bibles or what have you, God can do that in modern times, just like he did it for Brother Andrew and just like we see it here in 2 Kings 6. Now look over in 2 Kings 4. I want you to see another story real quick. We don't have time to read the whole story, so I'm going to summarize it for you and we're going to just read a few verses. 2 Kings 4. I'm going to tell you what happened in the story and then we're just going to read a little bit of it. This same Elijah, who we just saw these gifts operating through, He was staying in the home of a woman and her husband. They were well off, and they had created a guest room for Elijah, so that anytime he passed through town, he could stay in their guest room. And he asked the woman one day, he said, what can I pray for the Lord to do for you? And she stood in the doorway, and he said, and he heard that she had no children. And he said, I'll tell you what, this time next year, God's going to give you a baby. And she said, no, don't tease me, don't toy with me, man of God, don't play with my emotions like that. And he said, nope. He prophesied it. He said, this time next year, you're going to have a son. And sure enough, she did. Okay, I'm summarizing for you because of the sake of time. A few years later, after the child was a boy, he was out in the field one day, had what the Bible describes as a heat stroke, and he died. So now the mom's gotten on her donkey, and she's saying, I'm going to go to that prophet because he's the one that got me this child. He can help raise him from the dead. Okay, so we've just fast forwarded. I'm going to, that puts you in context of where we're at here. Now we're going to have to fast forward down here. Okay, here we go. Look at verse 22, 2 Kings 4:22. She called her husband and said, please send me and one of the servants on a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. Now, her husband doesn't know the boy died. The husband doesn't know this yet. Why go to him today, he asked. In other words, what's the hurry, woman? It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. And she goes, it's all right, or it is well, I think in the King James it says. Verse 24, she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, lead on and don't slow down for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And when he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Okay, that last question is going to really be a test of her faith. Everything is all right, she said, or all is well. That's where that great hymn came from, by the way. The man that wrote that is taken as a quote from this scripture. All is well. It is well with my soul. She says, all is well. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, look at verse 27. This is the key right here. She took hold of his feet, and Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She's in bitter distress. But the Lord has, and this is what you ought to underline in your Bible right here. The Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. And here's what I want to say about the gifts of the Spirit. People who operate in the gifts of the Spirit don't know everything. You see it?
Yes.
This is the same Elijah that just a couple chapters later we read. He saw with eyes in the Spirit. He saw angels and chariots of fire. But in this case, he couldn't figure out what's wrong with this woman. Why? Because the Holy Spirit upon him had not yet revealed it. Now, if you read to the end of the story, he raises the boy from the dead. We don't have time today. So there's a working of miracle again for you in the Old Testament. But at this moment, at this time, when he needed it, when he needed a word of knowledge to tell him what's going on, he didn't have it. And it's okay if you begin to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. There may come a time at which you've got to admit with your mouth, I don't know. The little dose of humility go a long ways, okay? As you begin to step out in this, just keep that in mind. Here's an example of a man of God known for his miracles, known for perceptions, operating in all kinds of gifts. At this moment, when he needed it, he said, I don't have it. God hadn't shown me. Listen, don't make stuff up. This is a danger that some people in history, in church history, have gotten into. They start operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and they get used to, you know, appearing before an audience or appearing before people to have it all together, and then again to a situation and they don't have it from God and they make it up. Now you're getting into dangerous territory. Okay, we don't have to worry about that. I'm just saying, if you don't know, just say, I don't know. Because did you know there were times when Jesus didn't know? There were. We're going to read about it. Turn over real quick to John. Mark chapter 5, verse 30. This is the story of the woman with the issue of blood. We know that story. We've just studied it fairly recently in one of my messages. Look at verse 30 of Mark chapter 5. At once Jesus realized what? Power had gone out from him. And he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? Well, why did Jesus have to ask people who touched him? Who got the power surge? Because the Holy Ghost did not reveal it to Jesus at that moment. Are you with me? Jesus knew one thing. He knew power had gone out from him, but he didn't know who. And I want you to see this, saints. It's very important. Just like I showed you in the Old Testament. The person who operates in the gifts of the Spirit doesn't know everything. Are you with me? The Bible says God gives us his gifts as he wills. Now, this may shock your system, but I want you to see this. Jesus, as the Son of God, had to depend on the Holy Ghost. The Bible says when he came from heaven, he emptied himself of his divinity. Jesus in heaven, as the Son of God, would have known who touched his, who touched anybody's clothes here on earth in this particular instance. But Jesus, as man in flesh, was dependent, like you and I are, on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that? I want you to see this. Jesus himself was dependent. Because as Brother Malcolm mentioned, and this is such an important truth to understand, Jesus did not come to earth to show us how great he is.
Yes.
In the sense of provoking us to a frustration or envy to where we go, well, you're that great. Yeah, because you're the Son of God. But me? I don't got that. No, Jesus came to live a life of dependency on the Holy Spirit to teach us how to live a life of dependency on the Holy Spirit. Are you with me?
Good.
All right? And that's what we see in this chapter. He turned around and asked, who touched me? Because he didn't know. The Holy Spirit hadn't revealed it to him at that moment. Very important for you to see. All right? Next week will be part 3 of the Word of Knowledge. Let me say this about the Word of Knowledge. The Word of Knowledge has to do, again, with facts up to the present time. Right? Things that are either happening now or have happened up to now. Now, in 2 weeks, because we're not going to get there this week, I can see it already. But we will get to the Word of Wisdom, which has to do with the future plans of God. Okay? So, many times those two gifts will flow together. But the Word of Knowledge has to do with stuff that's happened up until now. Are you with me?
Yes.
God will tell you, or in the moment. Think of it as the Word of Knowledge is always about in the moment.
Amen.
Somebody's in pain now, they're in that moment, they need relief. Somebody's distressed now, God will give you a word of knowledge and say, somebody here is really stressed, really anxious. That's in the moment. You with me? It has to do with humanity, human experience up until now. Somebody in this place today, you're under great duress. Somebody in this place, you're believing God for finances. Somebody in this place today, or you're out in the workplace, or you're out in the world, and the person in front of you in line, the Lord just says, their son. And you go, well, what about their son? And that may be all God gives you. And so you have to step out. You step out gently. And I want to say this about operating in the Word of Knowledge. You don't have to use King James English. Okay? Thus saith the Lord. It's not about that. I'll tell you a way that I've begun operating in this and introducing it. Because listen, if you walk up to someone and say, God just told me, well, they're going to think you're a freak of nature and they're probably going to run. But you can say something gently to someone in public like, you know, I was praying just a moment ago. And that's agreeable. Fairly agreeable in our Judeo-Christian Western world. That won't freak people out too terribly. You could say, I was praying just a moment ago. Or I was talking to the Lord just a moment ago. And I believe he showed me this. Or I believe the Lord showed me something about your son. Do you have a son? And they may just fall apart right then. Oh, my son's over in Afghanistan. He's in the military. I'm really stressed out. You just never know. But that's an easy way to introduce. And see, again, saints, the Word of Knowledge doesn't give you every detail.
Mm-hmm.
Elisha didn't have any details. He just says, she's in distress, and God hasn't shown me why. Well, anybody could have seen she's in distress. She's holding on to his feet. That's not your normal way of greeting somebody, right? Okay? So I'm just saying, when you introduce this in public, when you introduce it, because the gifts of this kind of gift, I want you to get comfortable operating it in here, but realize that the power tools are really needed out there.
Yeah.
I wanted to say this. This is in my notes. I am going to say this today, and I'll probably say it again next week, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to you and I are not given to you and I because we're so holy, but because they're so needy. Are you with me? Listen, when the Holy Spirit gives you a gift of a word of knowledge for somebody or about something, and it's not for you, it's not like, you know, danger ahead for your driving, or it's a word for somebody, folks, don't delay.
That's it.
Don't hold back. You could save somebody's life. You could make somebody's day by sharing that word. And literally, it just can burst open their world into the light of day. They may be in the darkest gloom at that moment. And again, for you to just say, you know, I was just praying. That's agreeable. And most people won't run away from you if you say it like that. I was just praying. I was just talking to the Lord a moment ago. And I believe he showed me this. And then that way, if you introduced it by saying, I believe he showed me, you haven't said, I know this. You with me? Because listen, we may miss it now and then. You may have had too much pizza last night. But I don't want you to be afraid to step out and to allow the Lord to use you in this. Be bold. And here's the key. We didn't get there this far this week. The scripture tells us that there's one way. The way that we get this thing happening in our life is to desire it.
Yes.
To crave it. We'll talk more about that next week. Why don't you stand with me? Praise the Lord. Let's give thanks for the power tools at our disposal. Let's give thanks for this privilege of operating with the Holy Spirit. Listen, it's just cooperating with him. Jesus said this. He said, my Father is always working. There's always something to be done. There's always somebody in need. There's always somebody who's crying out, is there a God who knows what I'm dealing with, what I'm struggling with right now? And you and I may have the answer in that moment. We may have the power tool they need. We may have that word of knowledge that will crack open their hardened heart to receive Jesus. Amen? So, Father, I ask for just a boldness to come on us as your people in the name of Jesus, that we would step out, not be afraid, and that you begin to use us and pour out through us the word of knowledge, the word of your intimate knowledge in other people's lives. Lord, I thank you for that, the release of that gift in us, your people, so that we can bring to earth the glories of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you soon.